the lesson tonight. Are you a big butt Christian? Are you a big butt Christian? You can decide how I spell that. Or another title would be, is your butt blocking God's blessings or presence? I'm not too sure why God decided to title it that way, but that's what I felt like I needed to say, so now I can go home, I guess. No, we'll do a little study tonight. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 4, and I'll get to the point of a big butt. Do you remember that this whole presence of, I mean, this whole point of seeing how man moved from the presence of God, we started in the Garden of Eden. A perfected, perfect place with perfect fellowship, perfect environment, and man came up with a butt. And the butt there was, but the fruit looks so good. The first time man decided to use his reason against the Word, or question the Word with his reason. Does that make sense? I know that you said, I could eat of all the fruit but that one, but that fruit looks so good. And you're such a good God, I know that we're not going to get any trouble and your word's not going to be fulfilled, which was death, because, but, you wouldn't do that to people. If you'll get to analyzing that word but, you're going to find out why the church is such, well, I'm not going to even go that strong. I might misspell there. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Stay with me, we're going to study some word tonight. So he came to Nazareth, this being Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, what would Jesus do? Jesus would be in church. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Isn't it amazing that even Jesus read the Word? The Word read the Word. Did he do it for him? Yeah. Did he do it for them? Yes. Verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Nobody prepared the text. Jesus had a message that day. Now we have a format of how God speaks through his oracles. He found where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to what? To preach the gospel to the poor. Now why would he preach to the poor? Well, the key word there is gospel. What does gospel mean? All right, it's good news. Now, what would be good news to the poor? You're no longer poor, right? Jesus, the anointed one, picked up the Word, anointed by himself, the Word, God, the Holy Spirit, and pointed out something special to us. You don't have to be poor. That's the good news. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I've never seen a lighthearted sick person. So we've got two things here, even if you're brokenhearted or if you're sick. I want you to know that I was sent to heal. Okay, now why do we need to know that? Well, possibly you're sick. Possibly you're brokenhearted. Right? He kind of knew that was going to happen. He might even have known it had happened to his people. But because they forgot, or they said, but the diagnosis says this. I'm sitting here to take care of that. To proclaim liberty to the captives. You like that word, liberty? And recovery of sight to the blind. Did you know in the church, blindness is now taboo for healing? But I haven't seen it before. There's the but. I've seen a lot of people prayed for, but I haven't seen it happen. Well, that means the word's wrong. We can scratch that out. Jesus, he shouldn't have read this. This was wrong. Then he closed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What does this verse mean, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord? Stan, he interprets things strange sometimes, but to me this means now's the time. It's now. You guys thought it wasn't now, and I'm here saying it's now. I'm here to proclaim it's now. Now verse 20 said, then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled. And it's fulfilled by you hearing. In other words, can I do another little interpretation on that? I've done my part, and you've heard it. Are you filled with it? You full of it? Or is your butt in the way? If you don't like my interpretation sometime, don't say anything. Now, here's how we look. When we read scriptures that says we're healed, we don't have to be poor. If we're blind, we can see. If we're deaf, we can hear. Nobody says this out loud. What they say out loud is, yes, amen. But deep down in here is, yeah, but they don't know the circumstances. And there's that but that gets in the way. You don't know how I feel. But you don't know my history. There's all kinds. Let's keep moving. I don't want to get stuck there. We, as the body of Christ, by the way, was this Christ, our Lord, standing up and proclaiming? Then what should we do? As the body, we should be not only proclaiming. How many times in the Bible does it talk about Jesus not going to the synagogue because he was sick that day? He didn't have the money to get there. Gas was too expensive. You know, the donkey food was way too high. The sandals cost way too much. If you want an excuse, the enemy will give you one. I promise you. You put it in your mind, and it'll be a good one. It'll fit. We as the body of Christ have given ourselves the right to but, which is given the right to explain away the word, or set aside the word. Instead of, and this is the way we should be, without hesitation. I read it, it's right. I heard it, that's what Jesus said. I fulfill this in your hearing. Now what are you going to do about it? Yeah, it's me. I got it. In Isaiah 53, and we covered this last week, Isaiah 53, 4 through 7, the very first word here is what? Surely. Now, I promise you, if you read the word, the first word you're going to speak is surely. Make sure the last word you say is not but. Stick with your proclamation. Surely, he has. What does has mean? It's done. It's been fulfilled in your ears today, because I just told you, I just read it to you. It's finished, surely. He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. He was wounded. For what? Well, he just wanted to be wounded. For our transgressions. Yeah, but you don't know how big my transgression is. Yeah, but you don't know how big his wound was. If you want a butt, let's butt heads. Come, let us reason together, the Bible says. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we... This one says, which one does this say? Are healed. A little further, there's another terminology, but it's done. If Jesus were here today and he read this word to you, he would say it is now fulfilled in your ears. You've been told. You're going to butt your way out of it, or are you going to say, surely, that's the truth. All we like sheep have gone astray. There goes the first but. It takes away your first but. Because he said that's everybody's gone astray. That doesn't make any difference. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus has already taken care of those first two things that you laid out there. We've all gone astray. You don't know how big we've gone astray. He said, doesn't make any difference. God laid it on Jesus' shoulders, and his shoulders were big enough. Surely. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Now listen, what would Jesus do? Are you a Christian? Which means like Christ. All right, then here's the sentence that covers you. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, but he did not open his mouth. Why? Because he'd already said, surely. We in the U.S. church, I'll speak for that because that's where we are. Our mind is easily changed. Why? Because we listen to too much mouth and we use too much mouth wrongly. We forget, surely. And when the afflictions come, I don't ever change surely. I don't let my butt get in the way of surely. And when I'm oppressed, when I don't feel right, you just don't know about today. I don't want to know about today. Shut your mouth. Say surely. At least have enough consideration for me that you're trying to build my faith. Now think about this. Too many times I don't consider your faith in my complaints or my butts. And yet, the only way to please God is by faith. Whose faith? If nothing else, I'll build yours and I'll please God. And you know what he'll do? He'll build mine in the process. Surely. My little note there says he did not open his mouth. He did not one time say, but this may be more than I can handle. And I call myself a Christian. Now, what did I just say? I want you to make sure you heard that. It is never more than I can handle if I'm like Christ. Because he's already handled it. And I'm in the handling. I'm in the done work. I'm in the surely. All right, let's go on. Our mouths, or our lack of faith in the Word, and our mouth's acknowledgement of our lack of faith, is what removes the power of the Word in our lives to transform, to heal, to change. Let me say it another way. Surely, it's finished. I didn't say your life was finished. I said the work is finished. We want to now do some work. It's completed. What is there for you to do? Get in the way. I don't know if y'all have ever been in a mechanic's garage, but the funniest sign in there is my shop rate is $90 an hour. It's $120 if you watch and $150 if you help. We need to put that in the front of our Bibles. God knows what he's doing, and he doesn't need our watching, he doesn't need our advice, and he doesn't need our assistance. He just needs our cooperation or our agreement. If we could learn the pretty prayer is not what happens, it's that makes things happen, it's the prayer of agreement. Well, surely, I agree with surely. That's my work. Now it's not only fulfilled in my ear, it's fulfilled with my mouth. Now the work is done in and through Christ Jesus, and now in through me, because out comes the outcome. Out comes the outcome. Well, but I feel oppressed and afflicted. Slap yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Don't you think Jesus wanted to say something right about this minute? He didn't. Too many times our butt gets in the way of our success. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Now, I'm trying to cover some of the buts that I already know people say. I've heard them a million times. I probably help say them. I'm forgiven, I'm delivered, and I'm getting better. How about you? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Did you know Jesus came to this earth to make something pass away and something better appear? Y'all do understand that. That's what he's here for. That's what he's referring to. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Did you know the minute you understand surely, your boldness will appear? You're not going to be one of these people that are wishy-washy. Somebody looks at you and says, you are sure you're healed? Yeah. You sure you're prosperous? Yeah. Yeah, I read the front, the back, and everything in between, and it all says the same thing. And I'm thoroughly convinced. Did you know, I had a salesman come yesterday and spend a long time with me, and there's some schooling and procedure I'm trying to get a hold of, and I'm hard-headed? God loves hard-headed people. If you can ever get through to them, nobody can change their minds. He loves them. And I told him, I'm not unsure of you, I'm unsure of me. I have to make this go in my mind. I have to get the promise down. That's the way I work. So he called me today and he said, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work. You can decide. I said, I think I remember hiring you to teach me, and that's what I'm going to expect out of you. And he said, well, I don't think I accomplished enough yesterday. I said, it's not your opinion that I paid for. It's your teaching. You let me decide if you accomplish it, because in our contract, if you don't accomplish it, I get my money back anyway. So I don't know why. I said, I think? I think you tried to call me so I could sell you. And I've done a good job, and now I'm through. You sell me. He goes, what? I wasn't born yesterday. I've been approached several different ways. Here's what I told him. You have convinced me that you know what you're doing. And so I'm sold on you. Now you make me sold on you. You make me sold on what you can do so that I can be sold on what I can do. This is what the Bible's about. I don't have to have confidence in me. I have to have confidence in the person that's already done this thing. That being Jesus Christ, him crucified and resurrected. Not just crucified. I would not serve a Jesus that was just crucified. He's done it. He's walked it. He's talked it. He's paid it. And now he's trying to get me to have faith in him, not me. I'm trying to encourage you a little bit. You don't have to have faith in you. It isn't up to how strong and smart you are. All it has to be is you are surely. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. What was passing away? Did you know in your life, just as in the Old Testament, there are things passing away in you, and you need to give them one of these and let them go. Just give them one of these and let them go. Watch them. Wave at them. But their minds were blinded. Wait a minute. Did you hear that? Their minds were blinded. Maybe that has to do with some of the blind that can see that Jesus was talking about. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Whoa. Do you mean the Old Testament won't enlighten? No, that's not what they're saying. He said reading, but what he means is believing. If you're a believer and stuck back in the Old Testament, you still have the veil. Let me say it another way. Until you get into the New Testament is when Jesus was resurrected. Anything after the resurrection is New Testament. Everything before that time is Old Testament. You can believe in the law, or you can believe in the New Covenant, the more glorious thing that was spoken of here. But if you're going to stick with law, the veil's going to be there. That's what's his promise here. Watch this. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. Let me help you with something. Anybody that's stuck in law, they can't see Jesus Christ because they're veiled. Only the Holy Spirit is ever going to hint to them in their heart that there's something better. When they believe that there might be something better than law, they can see Jesus. That didn't seem to thrill you. Okay. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies at or on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Okay, let's stop just for one second. You can believe. Did you know the world operates in law? We don't, but the world does. We're free from the law of sin and death. That's what the law of the world operates in. If you eat wrong, you'll die. If you walk wrong, you'll die. If you talk wrong, you'll die. You may just die because you're born. That's the law of the world. It's like a gamble. Some going to live 70, some going to live 30, some going to... And the world accepts that because there is cancer, and there is this, and there is sugar diabetes, and there's all kinds of things that's after your life. But if you turn to Jesus, what happens? The veil is taken away. Those that turn to the Lord, where does the veil come from? Believing in the old law. So if you turn to the Lord Jesus, the old law, the veil of the old law is lifted, and now you can see if that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit will give life to your mortal body. It never says that that life is not strong enough to overcome, let's use the dreaded word, cancer. If it can overcome hell and sin and death, why can't it take care of cancer? Hey, it's a legitimate question. Yell at me. Yell amen or oh me, but yell. I mean, boldness of speech is what we just read here. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Law never brings liberty. Law always brings oppression. I'm going to give you the definition of the word liberty. Freedom. Now listen to this. In this freedom you get this. Unrestrained to go at pleasure as a citizen, not a slave. Exempt from obligation or liability. No, you didn't get it. You didn't get happy about it. You are exempt from your past. You're exempt from the liability of whatever you've done. I know what you deserve. You deserve the same thing I deserve. But you're exempt from deserve. You got freed. You were a slave to sin and death. Now you're freed into unrestrained life. That ought to make you happy. Yes. Verse 18, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Whoa. Did you ever see the glory of the Lord in a mirror? I'm asking you a question. You're going to obey the word or you're going to say, but I'm ugly. I'm not going to say it the other way, what some people have told you, but that's not the truth. The truth is, when you look in the mirror and the veil has been taken away and you begin to see the glory of God, when you look in the mirror, you begin to see the glory of God. And when you begin to see it, other people can see it. Either we're talking to people that have already arrived, or I'm like that guy selling me that product yesterday. Would it be better if God Himself visited right now and said, "You look like me. You're glorious." Would that make you feel better? He just did. It's been fulfilled in your ears. By the word and by this oracle of God, I proclaim that. Now you need to receive it and say, "Surely." Don't say, "But." Okay. Thank you. And here's where you can really proclaim yourself right out of the promise of God. Because there's some good ones out there. Did you know that? You're free from the liability and all the exemptions. You're free from that. Don't go back in by saying, "But you don't know my bloodline. My granddaddy had diabetes, and my daddy had diabetes, and my mama had diabetes, and my cousin, my uncle, all my friends. So I got to have it." You just butted your way out of the promise. What do you care? What do you care? Do you know whose bloodline you have? You were born again. Your DNA was changed. You became a direct descendant from God the Father, who created, recreated, and wrote this book as a contract with us. That's who, what blood you have. You first were, had the spirit of adoption. You second had the, you were given sonship. And you, if you keep going thinking I'm the glory of God like you're supposed to, you receive the heir. You become the heir. What's the heir? Ooh, hang in there. You'll find out. I promise you, that's a given by God. Nobody can take it away. You can. You can butt your way out of it. You can bring up your past, the one that God's already forgiven or forgotten. You can bring it up, but you're not bringing it up to Him because He's not hearing it. You're talking about sin that He's already washed away. He's not going to bring it up in memory banks. So what you guys lose, we lose communication when we bring up any past sins. The presence of God is not going to hang around in the presence of sin. You have no right bringing something up that would run the presence of God off. I thought you want to be His friend. Don't insult Him with such little silly stuff. When we bring up age, when we bring up diabetes, when we bring up our youth, what we deserve, our debts, our wants that are not fulfilled, we have now taken names and put them above a name. The sword that we are given through the word is not just to hang on the wall and say, "Isn't that a pretty sword?" We whip it out. And when my flesh wants to butt, the word divides that flesh from my spirit. And I hang it up on a wall. It's a trophy mount. That I killed. I killed it with the word, and God is pleased. My mind, my emotions, my will can want to butt, but my spirit, directed by the Holy Spirit, is saying, "Surely, surely it's done." And no amount of wind, argument, persuasion, affliction is going to change my testimony. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It don't stop there. By the word of your testimony, we can choose to have what the will and the word proclaims, and we can choose what we bring around with our butts. After last Wednesday night, a person came up and wanted to have some of their family prayed for, and the pastor said Wednesday night what he said Sunday. But Wednesday night he said sickness is an illusion. That was good, but the minute you said that, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Project it on fear." And I looked at this projector. You know, that what would be up there if that wall wasn't there? The same thing that's right here. Nothing. The only thing we have, this illusion, can't be just an illusion. Believe me, the lies of the enemy are everywhere. But it has to be projected on something. There has to be something here to catch the message. And it's based on fear. And usually the fear is this, "But what if it doesn't work?" And so the "but" creates the fear. "But what if it doesn't work?" Well, boom, And now the message comes through strong. You'll die. You'll suffer. You'll leave your family alone. They won't have any provisions. Blah, blah, blah. Man, you just, whatever you've heard in your, you put it there. This fear is the only thing that the enemy, see, the illusion is not the problem. It's what it's, what's catching it. There's something in us that is not pure and it's catching the lie. And I don't care what it is, you'll take it back to the word fear or to the action of fear. It'll be projected on a fear. Those, when Jesus was talking to the poor, what was the fear? I won't have enough. Right? And the minute you have the feeling that there's not enough, there will be a projection. There will be a visual and an audible projection, and it will tell you, well, sure, it's not going to be enough. Do you see what the gas prices are doing? Do you? Come on. I don't need to go into all of that. All of a sudden, that place of fear begins to grow. And if you don't get some surely in here, there's nothing but your butt that's going to grow. It's that simple. Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. Guess what you got to do tomorrow? Choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. Well, this sounds like a tremendous work. No, it isn't. Because I know the work is finished. My work is agreeing with the work. When you've done all you can do to stand, the work here is to stand. I don't like to stand in one place. So I want to stand while I'm moving. I want God to be moving me while I'm standing. If we're just going to stand, I want to sit. I lose my momentum. So I think that God wants me to keep moving while I'm standing. In other words, don't stand here and say, I hope. That means no, man. If I got this threat, let's walk towards the threat. I'm armored on the front. I'm armored on the front. Just don't do this. Because then that projection may hit here, and now I'm projecting fear to somebody else. If the enemy can put doubt in our minds, and that's what he works with, we use the word doubt, but it's really fear. It's really fear. If he can put it in our minds that this word that we believe in so hard, so much, doesn't work, or won't work, maybe this time it won't work, then fear sets in and becomes that screen that illusion of that projection hits. And I promise you it'll be right in here. And if you don't think he can't find that, you're mistaken. That's why we're supposed to keep it occupied with the word. Matthew chapter 10. You know, if everybody that had a what would Jesus do, armband, t-shirt, whatever they've got, if they would just acknowledge or understand what they're saying, it would guide their lives. And it would deal more in faith than it would be in testimony. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Is there a disciple or a servant in this house? All right. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher. The cool part about this is we don't have to be better than Jesus. We just have to mimic him. And a servant like his master, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of this household? When Jesus came and talked about healing, talked about restoration, talked about eliminating poverty, what did they call him? Y'all don't know? It made them so happy they hung. Do you notice we read the first scriptures first, right? Are you above your master? Jesus suffered. Oh, you think you're the king of the Jews? Oh, you think you have the right to save people? No, I just have the right to heal them, he said. And they're going, what? If you try to have walk in faith, your friends, your loved ones are going to accuse you of mistreating you or your loved ones. Oh, you're going to try to stand in faith? Don't you know how dangerous that is? You better have a surely, or there's going to be a but. You better know what you believe in. You better know that no matter what they say, this is where I'm going and this is how I'm doing it. You got to be meaner than the enemy, you got to be stronger than the enemy, and you got to be more firm than the enemy, even if it comes through wives, grandmother's, father's, mother's, it doesn't matter where it comes from. You're going to make it to heaven or hell on your own without anybody's help. Don't depend on somebody else. Verse 26, therefore, do not fear them. Oh, I didn't know they were threatening. Anything that tries to pull you away from faith or away from the word, you better understand it's a threat. And you're going to be afraid of that threat, or that threat's going to be afraid of you. You've got two choices. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. What are you covering by faith? Let's just look at the scripture a little deeper. What are you covering by faith right now? And what is the promise if you cover it by faith, light, and word, wash it with the word? What's covered? Everything's going to be revealed. You know what that means? To the sinner, it's bad, but to you, it's good. What a sinner's trying to hide, it's going to be revealed. What you're believing for is going to be revealed. You can go, whoop-hoo. And those things that are hidden, those things that you're believing for in the back room in the middle of the night, you stand and you stand quietly, they're going to be made known. How it's going to be made known? One, you're going to be healed, saved, delivered. Those people you're believing for, healed, saved, delivered. It's going to be revealed because God does His Word. And if you're speaking the Word surely, He's going to do it. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. When does most of your revelation from God come? In the middle of a group conversation or when you're alone? With the Word, in the middle of the night praying, whatever it is. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. That way it becomes surely. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. See, if you really believe it, you're going to talk about it. You're not going to talk away from it. And do not fear, second time it says that, those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That, my friends, is also a promise. It's a promise of hell. It's a promise of death and destruction now and eternally. And there's an enemy out there. There's a promise of an enemy that is trying to get you. How's he trying to get you? Cause you to be afraid. Whatever an old saying that I've had for years, if the devil can find your cost, he will pay it. If it's money, he will pay it. If it's killing your kids, he'll pay it. It doesn't make any difference. Or if he just tells you he's going to kill your kids. He doesn't mind lying. Do you understand? He doesn't mind lying. In fact, he doesn't know how to do anything else. If it's not the word, it's a lie. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But, this is a good but, by the way. You know what that is? That's a but to defeat a but. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Unless you cut them off. No, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Can I tell you something that's just brilliant here? God is trying to tell you, you don't even know how many hairs you got, but I do. In other words, God knows things that hasn't even crossed your mind yet. Far beyond anything that you ever thought or asked. And now He's saying, will you trust me? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not, do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, whoever boldly confesses me, my word, by faith, before men, him I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven. Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, is confessing you because you confessed Him. Your name is being brought up because His name is being brought up. Well, if that's ration, and you understand that, then your praise is being brought up because your concern is being brought up. How do you know that? Well, anybody that would count the hairs on your head and number them is very concerned about the rest of you. Hair's not important. Some of us lose it. But He still numbered it. How about your concerns? How about if our number one concern was, oh God, I don't want to fail you today. Oh God, I don't want to do anything but propagate faith today. That's all I want. Do you think the Lord might help you with that? Because it pleases Him, the prayer and the action. Walk by faith. But whoever denies me before men, sometimes but denies. No, all the time but denies. Him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 6:25. Let's hit it one more time. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry. Well now, after all of these do not worries, we must understand that worry is where the fear comes from. Right? So if we can do not worry, then we're not going to worry about the fear. We know how to get rid of fear now, right? Don't worry. Why? Don't worry about your life. Oh man, do you realize the size of this command? Come on, just get real with yourself for a moment. Do not worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Well, but I'm going to the doctor. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Well, what else have I got to worry about? The things of God. He'll take care of the life. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Isn't this life more about your belly being full and your, well, I can't say that, but your backside being covered? Look at the birds of the air. For neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? I don't mean to be rude, and I am not going to tell everybody they got to stop working tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You better stop worrying about working. This salesman that was there yesterday, I'm not going to let anybody try to sell me without me selling them some stuff. God. And he was talking about, those guys, they want to know about your finances and everything. He said, don't worry about it. What do you mean don't worry about it? I said, I work for God. He pays well. What? Yeah. I said, we work around here for free. I run the place for free. My wife works here for free. I'm not going to be anybody's employee. Now that's the way I'm made up. Don't take this all for you. But God is, I read this scripture. And I see surely. Now either he's a liar or he is the truth. And if he says don't worry about working, I'll take care of things. Then I don't have to work for a paycheck. I work for the company. The presence of God is the company of God. I work for the company. He's got my hairs numbered. You know what that means? He knows everything that I have and everything that I need, and it's stupid for me to outplan him or try to. I shouldn't use the word stupid, should I? Look at the birds of the air. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one, I'm going to use the word inch, to your stature, to your height? Have you ever seen anybody grow worrying? No, it's not going to happen. They may shrink, but they won't grow. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. God's trying to tell us something here. Our emphasis is on work and it shouldn't be. Don't quit your job. Not unless God says so. But don't worry about it. Do everything as unto the Lord. That means that old crazy boss that you work for that don't pay you enough, you don't do it for him because he can't pay you enough. Do it for God and he can. That's what this is saying. Thank you, Lord. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these flowers. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will. How much more will he clothe you? Oh, listen to this, you of a little faith. Do you know what God says about us when we worry? Oh, you of little faith. Why do you think you have the problems? Because you've become a butt. You think that you got horns and you got a hard head and you're going to butt everything around. Why do you think God used goats and sheep and rams and stuff like that as an example to people? Because of the way they act. The God of the universe. And they argue with him and they don't believe him. Oh, you have little faith. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Uh-oh. What are we if that's all we seek? You know what the cool part of this is? It takes me out of being Jew or Gentile because I don't fit either one of those categories. In this case, I'm not going to be a Gentile. because they seek things other than God. Not going to be a Jew because they have not yet accepted the Messiah. I have him. They need him. They're looking for him. I've got him. Who's right here? For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first. What's the order? What's the job? See, because I can't help the kingdom if I don't get a job. That's not what it says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow, now I want you to notice something here. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. There's a life in tomorrow. God did not just create life in you. He created life in tomorrow. You know what that means? There's going to be enough oil tomorrow. Don't you worry about it. The sun's going to come up, the sun's going to go down, there's going to be enough water. Everything that you need, God says, tomorrow will take care of it. Why? Because He told tomorrow to take care of you. Tomorrow's not accidentally happening. Tomorrow is being provided by you. And it's to worry about itself. You're not to worry about it. Don't get excited about some of this stuff. It's good. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let it worry about itself. Now, my statement to you, never let your butt leave you into fear. Leave you or lead you into fear. Never let your butt take you away from faith. If God speaks a promise to you, writes it on your heart, you see it in the Bible, I don't care how you get it, you do what Jesus did. You hush. You hush. Because it's already been established. You cannot go to a good church and hear good word and stay the same. You're going to get more firm. You're going to get more strong. More strong. Anyway, you're going to get stronger. You're going to become the glory of God. You being washed with the word is creating you to look like Jesus. That's washing of the word. There's only one thing that can sabotage this, but which leads to fear, which leads to an illusion, which leads to death. So don't let your butt get in the way. Let your heart follow you right into God. Let your word follow your heart. Let your heart follow the word into God. Now, how much of this that I said tonight is just fiction? How much of it did you let get away? You know why? You know, right here in this, even this small group, too much of the word is filtered with your feelings, with your presuppositions. The word is a paradigm shift. It wants to knock out of you, wash out of you, those things that you've made your mind up about and replace with promises that are so much bigger than you, they're scary. And yet here comes the Holy Spirit to say, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. So what are we supposed to do? Not fear. Believe. Let's get such a surely in our hearts and our mouths that nobody can take it away. No action. Nothing in our lives, no catastrophe, no oppression and affliction Jesus felt. You haven't felt anything like what Jesus felt. Nothing can come on you that will take away your surely. Amen? Will you make that commitment tonight? Because I promise you if you do, God will back it up. All right, stand with me. Father, we thank you. By the way, are our hearts clear? Does anybody need any prayer tonight? Okay. Father, we thank you for a listening ear. We thank you that your word has been fulfilled in the hearing of your people. That means you said, that's the truth. That's the truth. Forgive us for presenting it in a weird way, but take this thing that you've used and spoken tonight and change hearts and lives. That's what we want, Lord. That's what we want. We want to get off of bread and water, and we want to get onto the meat. And meat creates muscle, and muscle creates power. And let that all happen by us being sure of our God, sure of the Word, and it's surely alive in our hearts. And if we speak it, and if we believe it, we've got what we asked. Mountains will move. It doesn't make any difference what it is. We can walk on enemies. We can walk on scorpions. We can tread on serpents. No weapon formed against us will prosper. This is not a hope, a hope, a hope, a hope. This is surely. We receive that as a fact in our lives tonight. Get more bold, get more glorious, more looking like you. And everybody that wants that, everybody that agrees with that, please say, yeah. You heard him, Lord. Holy Spirit, you heard him. Now do whatever it needs, whatever you need to do to keep rain in their life so that the world can actually see what it looks like. To keep victorious living in their life. Strong, purposed living. A testimony that nobody can thwart or hold back. If we're going to take Beeville, then we got to take it. And we're going to do it with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So God, put us in those places. Put us in those situations. Put us in the arenas that it takes some guts. But we got the guts because we say, surely. We speak it out boldly. We speak it out in love. And people want what they see because we look like and sound like the word. You heard your people. Now anoint them and bless them with more truth. Let them sleep on it tonight. Chew on it. Regurgitate it. Let it fly out tomorrow in the form of freedom, truth, and life. Let that be established with this prayer, with their agreement, and in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your time.